Good morning, everyone. On this Veterans Day, stories from veterans. This is the voice of Quentin Smith, who served in World War II. Listen to this story.
About 12 years ago, I was in Detroit to a Tuskegee convention. A fellow came up to me and he said, "Are you Big Q?" I said, "Yes." "Are you the president of the Central Region of Tuskegee?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, my name is Bud Dietz." He said, "You know, I'm from Lake Charles, Louisiana." He said, "I was flying a B-17. I just made a bomb raid, and I looked out at 2 o'clock, and I saw two ME-109s, and I already got a crippled engine, and I knew we were dead. But I looked out at 10 o'clock, and I saw two red tails." You know, that's what the B-51s were painted for, the black guys, red spanners and red tails. "And I thought that I might live." They shot down the ME-109s, and they escorted us until our belly landed at my thing. And I said that if I ever got the opportunity, I was going to be a Tuskegee Airman, and I was going to build a place where black and white kids in Lake Charles, Louisiana, can learn how to fly. He did. That chapter still exists. He died 2 years ago, and they're flying.
A chapter of the broad history of World War II, part of the Library of Congress's Veterans History Project, the stories of 72,000 veterans. That's one of them. Still with us is John Jones, Iraq War veteran, who also helps veterans from the Iraq and Afghan wars get jobs. He's the executive director of the Wall Street War Fighters Foundation. John Jones, you have a story to tell, which will take its place among this Library of Congress archive, right?
Well, I hope so one of these days.
Yeah. One of these days. When you hear those voices, what is it you most want to impart to people about what you gave in your sacrifice? And we should say that we're talking on a day when it's taken 8 months for the Iraqis to get their act together to even have a government. And you've given so much for them to have the opportunity to even do that.
I did this job for a certain reason. I did it for the guy to the left and to the right of me, which if you talk to most veterans, that's what they did it for. And I did it—
Your colleagues.
For my Marines. Yeah. As a staff sergeant, you were in charge of 65 people. On a daily basis, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And having those guys with you, you know, that you bled with and that you sweated with, and that's where it came down to, is their safety and their, what was best for them at the time.
Did the men to the right and the men to the left make it out?
Yes, everybody in my platoon did.
Really?
You know, we heard the advice of the World War I veteran saying that you need to talk about these experiences. And you said you agreed with that's important. And yet he said, "Of course, I didn't talk about it." And this is what we hear from a lot of veterans. They don't come home and then talk about their experiences. They find it too difficult to reach out and talk about those things. And you know, we have a problem with depression and psychological problems when veterans get home. How do you get a veteran? How does a veteran come to be able to voice some of these things?
Well, I think that first it starts off with the unit and the command. They need to be able to talk with each other about experiences and things openly. In the military, it's if you talk about the issues that you're having, you're weak, you know. And I was fault to that as well.
In what way?
I thought they were just griping about things instead of they really had an issue at one point. And after being injured and everything and seeing people at Brooke Army Medical Center.
The
burn unit.
And the traumatic brain injury unit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an amputee ward as well. And I saw the guys who didn't talk about it, and they were just miserable. And the people who did talk about it, they were able to get through it a lot easier.
You know, there's this tension, it seems, in the way that we look at people like you. On the one hand, heroes, right? And you'll cop to that, right?
No, I don't consider myself a hero, but...
But there's also this need and want to be an ordinary person, to just mm-hmm. rejoin the community.
Right.
How hard is that tension to navigate for each individual veteran?
It depends on the veteran itself.
Yeah.
For myself, it was pretty hard to readjust back into it, because after being in the service for 12 years and doing something that I loved and having that ripped away from me in a split second, it was rough. It was hard to let go.
So you lose your legs and you gave your legs. You lose a career.
Mm-hmm. But I gained another one, so I was fortunate in that aspect.
Is there a what-if story in the moment that you lost your legs that you go back to and say, if X didn't happen, I'd be walking around today?
Yeah, if I would have told my CO that I didn't want to take the Humvee, then it would be okay. He told me not to, and I argued with him, but what do you do? It was just my time.
It was just my time.
Mm-hmm.
Who needs to hear your story, do you think?
Every veteran does. People who, family members that have veterans, they need to hear the story of not only my story, but people like me as well.
I imagine it probably helps the family when veterans come home and they're more open and they're able to talk. It helps the family deal with something that they may be uncomfortable approaching their loved one about.
Right. Well, I mean, the family goes through a ton just right alongside the veteran as well. You know, they go through their depression. They go through a little bit of post-traumatic stress disorder as well.
Maybe a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Not a little.
Well, a lot. But I think that having their own networks that they could talk to other wives or other family members about, and other children, about their experiences with their father or whatever, is very, very, it's needed.
Two wars, both of which will soon be longer than the Vietnam War, the longest wars in American history. The number of people who have participated, you being one of millions, can we even begin to calculate the impact this is going to have on American culture before we go?
I have no idea. It's going to be a big one, I believe.
It's going to be
one down in the history books.
Indeed. And we're going to see people walk in with those fancy prosthetic legs that you have for generations.
Mm-hmm.
Really. Well, John Jones, happy Veterans Day to you.
Thank you.
Iraq War veteran, staff sergeant in the Marines, returned from Iraq in 2005, minus two legs, which he gave for his service. Thanks so much.
Thank you.